Well, I think, you know, going back to Christmas time, and just before the session started, we had some serious concerns because there were either attacks planned or assaults in the weeds on agriculture in general. For example, the Association of Counties had passed a resolution to say that they were going to go after the farm home exemption. And fortunately, we preserved that this session. So we had one of those concerns early in the session. We also were worried about state spending in general and whether we would spend lots of money coming off of the last session on either social programs or, for example, a Teddy Roosevelt library at taxpayer expense. And so we had a lot of concerns about those things in addition to our general concerns for, you know, promoting animal agriculture, preserving the way we do things in agriculture in North Dakota, and all that. And so we had a number of things that were on our, you know, major concerns list, and we managed to dodge a lot of those problems and managed to implement some really good things this session. So I'm going to turn it over to Emery to talk about some of the things that were either things that we took on and beat that were would have been bad for agriculture, or things that worked their way through the weeds and were good for agriculture.
Some things of particular concern that popped up at the beginning of the session was a bill relating to animal cruelty, which basically would have prohibited a person who had been convicted of animal cruelty from owning an animal in the future. That was obviously concerning to us from just an animal agriculture perspective. Kind of in hand with that was a bill just to update some of the code relating to rabies and how you seize an animal who may have rabies. There were some red flags to the animal agriculture world as well as to the state veterinarian and the veterinarian society. So those items were resolved. The rabies bill did survive with amendments proposed by the association, the Veterinarian Association, and the animal cruelty bill was defeated. There was also a couple bills relating to water, which would have been very concerning to the agriculture world. One just relating to the definition of waters of the state. It was probably a poorly named bill, especially considering the current Waters of the U.S. issues that North Dakota has taken a stance against. This would have redefined some waters in a concerning way, and that bill was ultimately defeated. There was also a bill relating to draining that would make the whole draining process more difficult, and that bill was defeated as well. A couple successes that we had, like Pete said, is we did preserve the farm home exemption. The farm home exemption was actually reformulated to be the IRS definition. So some changes were made there, but it will be good for all farmers. There's also some more transparency in the application process, as well as protections for confidentiality for farmers who may be applying for that farm home exemption. A couple little victories that aren't little to farmers, but are smaller issues for just in the broad spectrum, just little items here. A bill relating to semi-trailer licensing. It'll be easier to license your semi-trailers. Some updates to anhydrous ammonia transportation. A couple of improvements to branding. Freeze branding will now be considered a legal brand on livestock. A couple really positive and good victories in the areas of mitigation and just citing wind energy and energy in general and mitigating adverse impacts. Family farmer loans, we saw some improvement there with the Bank of North Dakota. And then as well as some predator control, just the ability to be able to hunt predators at night using artificial lights. So some really good things that will help our farmers and our ranchers out there, and we're really excited to see these items get implemented, whether they have emergency clauses and they'll get implemented right away or whether they'll be implemented in August. We're really excited to see these come down the pike.
A couple of things that one thing that we were disappointed in is we had a bill moving through to consider all land posted that you couldn't trespass without permission. You know, all the other states have rules like this that you have to ask permission before walking on someone's property. And North Dakota is the one state that doesn't have that. And not that there are abuses by a lot of hunters, but there were cases where it was abused, the privilege of walking on somebody's property was abused in a lot of ways with the DAPL protest and all that, but it's also occasionally a concern with hunters because there are some challenges with people who don't ask permission. The Game and Fish Department teaches young hunters, when they go through their hunter education program, teaches them to always ask permission. But the rule in the state is that you don't have to ask permission, and if you can justifiably not see a sign or whatever, you have open, free range to go hunting, and that's somewhat a concern for property owners. So we had hoped to address that this session, but between a number of things, you know, some of the personalities involved and some of the misrepresentations that were involved, the bill eventually died on a close vote in the last days of the session. We got it through the House and the Senate the first time, but as it went through the conference report process, it passed the Senate the second time, but then it couldn't clear the hurdle of passing the House in the last version. And so we'll hope to bring that back and really address the ability for private property owners to have true private property rights and not have people wander out onto their land and say that they're hunting, and maybe they are, but maybe they have other nefarious activities planned, and so we hope that we can fix the trespass rule in this state. We did have some great victories going down the stretch. The second cousins bill, it's called House Bill 1388, mainly addressing the ability, you know, in our anti-corporate farming law, it says that you can farm together if your family members to the cousin level, meaning two brothers and their sons or their daughters could farm together. But when you get to that second cousin level, that was disallowed by our anti-corporate farming law, that you couldn't have a family business corporate structure that included second cousins versus first cousins. And we saw this as ridiculous and have had policy against the corporate farming laws for a long, long time. Well, this bill was brought to us by a couple of gentlemen, two cousins and their sons, or nephews as it were, that are farming out in Grand Forks County, that, you know, generationally they're butting up against the law as it is now, and they want to continue their farm operation without breaking up the business and then reconstructing it under a different business model. They wanted to keep it just the way they have it, and so they fought for this, and we were successful on this. It passed overwhelmingly in both the House and the Senate. I think most legislators saw that our law was not intended to keep people and families from farming together, but has been abused by at least one group to say that if you get past the first cousin level, then you're no longer a family farm, which we don't understand, but that's the way it was proposed. And so we're happy that that law has been changed and that the second cousins can farm together and keep the family business as one entity and have a board of directors amongst the family, and to be able to keep the operation going without having to restructure it and all the lawyers that would involve. And then one of our greatest successes this session was our livestock zoning bill, Senate Bill 2345, which basically spells out how townships and counties can regulate livestock zoning for large animal feeding operations. The townships and the counties have some regulatory authority, but unfortunately, townships, particularly in some cases, have overstepped their authority. And the state spelled out these rules years and years ago, a number of legislative sessions ago, and unfortunately, they've been abused. Townships or counties, but mostly townships, have gone beyond what their authority is to regulate things within livestock siting that they had no authority over. And so that has been bad for animal agriculture and bad for the expansion of animal agriculture. We see this as a win for everybody in agriculture, in that farmers can grow their livestock operations, but it also, the more animals we feed, the more markets it creates for corn and soybean farmers. And so we see this as being good for all of agriculture. And there's no reason for a county to have a moratorium on an animal feeding operation within their county, which is the case in at least one county in our state where they've said you cannot have a large animal feeding operation. In other words, you couldn't have a feedlot in a certain county in this state, and that goes beyond what the state rules are. And this law that we passed, Senate Bill 2345, basically clarified what counties and townships can do and what they cannot do, and so that we hope that it helps counties in not allowing them to overreach their authority and causing them to be sued. So that's a great victory for animal agriculture and grain farmers in this state, and that we can start to expand animal agriculture and create a grain market and create opportunities for young farmers coming back to the farm and expanding their farming operations through livestock production. So that's kind of a quick recap of what we felt about the session, and we probably got some other things to talk about. There was one bill, for example, that talks about fake meat. You know, there is lab-produced meat nowadays that has nothing to do with protein sources coming from animals. It's all generated from within a petri dish. And so we had a bill on that to define what meat really is in this state. And that's kind of great to see for our livestock producers, that we can actually say that meat is something that came from an animal source, not from a petri dish. And so, you know, a lot of bills happen throughout the session. Some you try to shoot down, some you try to build up, and North Dakota Farm Bureau feels like we've had a really good legislative session for the promotion of agriculture in the state.
How does this process go from here on out, and when is some of this going to get implemented?
Well, certain bills each session have what they call an emergency clause, meaning they take effect as soon as the governor signs them, and so there'll be a number of bills that have that, and there'll be other bills that will take effect in the summer, 1st of August. And so depending on, you know, which bills they were and all, it's all across the board. Most bills take effect, you know, in the summer. But occasionally there's something that needs to be addressed almost immediately because it's an ongoing problem. And so they'll have an emergency clause on those. So you're right in that, you know, getting policy passed at the state level does not mean that you've actually gotten it implemented. And so the follow-up for us as a general farm organization is to watch all these issues and make sure that we don't just get policy, you know, taken care of in the code or at the General Assembly, that we actually have follow-up to make sure that these things start to happen out in the countryside. And so with our, for example, with our livestock zoning bill, we'll be able to go to all the counties now and all the townships now and say, let's just make sure that everybody plays by the rules that are spelled out clearly, defined in code, defined in case law, and so that nobody steps over the line and oversteps their authority. And so that is a continuous process, and I guess that's what keeps us in the business of representing our members and looking out for production agriculture in North Dakota.